And I kind of created this situation where, you know, to fail would be like catastrophic. I know what I need to do, but it's very hard for me to just do it.
And that's something that we struggle with all the time, obviously. Like, where am I in space and time?
I'm like cringing now as I think about it. It's such an ADHD thing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this live episode of the ADHD Skills Lab. Today, we are so lucky to be joined by Marie, a fellow My Hemisphere person, which is wonderful, based in Melbourne. So I'm going to introduce you to Marie, then we're going to talk a little bit about you and your life, and then we're going to dive into a little bit of research on time, just to kind of get everybody set up with why it's so important to talk about time with ADHD. And then we're going to get into time and managing your life, managing your work with ADHD, and also your amazing app. So Marie is the founder of Llama Life, a tool that helps users have calm and focused productivity. After working in advertising in New York City, Marie taught herself to code by watching YouTube videos and built and bootstrapped this wonderful app. Llama Life has now grown to a community of over 2,000 paying members, and your small team has released, as of a couple of weeks ago, the iOS app for this. So very, very excited to talk to you today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. That was like the perfect intro.
Thank you. So let's start by talking about your ADHD journey. Were you diagnosed before or after creating your app?
Before, yeah. I was diagnosed about 10 years ago, actually maybe a little bit more now. And yeah, it's like a very common pattern. People often get diagnosed much later in life. And we often get emails from customers saying the same thing. And it's always just such a revelation and just kind of this bittersweet moment when it happens. You're kind of like, oh, what do I do now? But you're also like, well, it explains everything in my life so far and all the challenges. So I went through that as an adult, and yeah, it was kind of a big thing for me. And it's actually what led to creating Llama Life today.
Awesome. That's great. That's so awesome. And so in terms of, I guess, you know, what made you then decide to start and set up Llama Life?
Yeah. So you mentioned just before in the intro, I started in a career of advertising and branding, and I'm based in Melbourne now. I grew up in Melbourne as well, but that career was in both London and New York. It was overseas and it was a really good experience, but I kind of just got to a point where I wanted to do something different. I was also struggling a little bit in my role. I was finding it just not challenging anymore. I kind of climbed the corporate ladder to a certain point, and then I was like, okay, I don't know where I'm going to go from here, because I don't really want to go any higher. And I'm also finding what I'm doing just kind of a little bit, just not challenging, I guess is the right word. Yeah, I decided to start my own business. That actually wasn't Llama Life. That was something else.
Classic first business.
Yeah.
I also have another first business.
The first businesses are really special, but they often aren't the ones that work either. So I had a few businesses before Llama Life. And what happened was during COVID, so peak COVID, when everyone was in lockdown, everyone was learning a new skill. And a lot of my friends were learning to cook or to do DIY sort of house stuff, which is not really me. So I thought, well, maybe I'll learn to code, because I've always wanted to learn to code. I think I'm quite tech savvy, but I just never really learned the software development side. And I actually tried to learn twice before by reading books, and I failed both times, because I'm so horrible with reading books. I don't know if you guys have the same experience, but I'll read a page like over and over again. I find it very hard to like stick to the lines. But anyway, this time I said, well, I'm going to try by watching videos. So I went on YouTube, and apparently I learned really well by watching videos or just listening to podcasts. And this time it stuck. So Llama Life came about because I was trying to find something to practice my coding skills. You can learn stuff in theory, but I just really wanted to get hands-on and put it into practice. And I thought I'd like to build something that is helpful to me. And I've always found that countdown timers are just really good in terms of getting my focus, giving me sort of like that small time box or window to say, I'm just going to focus on one thing at a time. And I just couldn't really find a tool that did that in the way that I wanted it to. So there's a lot of timer apps out there, but they didn't feel fun to me, and I got bored of them really quickly. So I wanted to create something that was a mix of both the core mechanism, the timer on every task, but also just fun to use and something that had variety and I'd come back to and I'd get some dopamine when I, you know, completed a task. So that's a really cool thing for us, is just to make everything super simple and super fun.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's awesome. That's really cool. So I'm curious, you know, you mentioned, I guess, your diagnosis. Did it have an impact on your life? Did you share it with other people, for example?
Yeah, it definitely had an impact on my life and has an impact on my life. I just feel like it was a while ago now, but now sort of 10 years plus on, I feel like I can be myself a lot more. And, you know, this is kind of a common thing with ADHD, you know, the whole masking thing where you might not even be conscious of it, but you're trying to fit in with, you know, society or a structure that is a corporate environment, and you kind of can't 100% be yourself. And you might not even know that this is happening, but you might come home from a work day just being very drained of energy.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening to me, which is why I kind of got that sense in my corporate job that I just got stuck and I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely had a big impact on my life. And I was very lucky because I had a coworker who was sitting next to me, and he has ADHD. And I was, he really helped me, because I was just kind of at a loss, like what's going on, basically. You know, I always had these challenges, but they kind of suddenly got amplified in that work environment to a point where like I just couldn't function. He literally just said to me, "I think you have ADHD." And I had this moment where, maybe a lot of people have this moment where, I went to Google and I like typed in ADHD.
Oh yes.
And I'm reading all the articles and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is me exactly to a T. And I spoke to him about it. And he's like, just go see my psychiatrist. And he gave me the number. Yeah. And this psychiatrist was like literally around the corner from work. So he's like, just go on your lunch break, whatever, make an appointment, go on your lunch break. And that really helped me, because I think if he wasn't there to guide me, I might not have even made the appointment.
You got that body double.
That's
awesome. That's so great. Yeah. I wanted to check in the chat, Sarah. Has anybody else sort of had those experiences? I can see that your conversation's popping off. So
we're actually talking about the timer app.
Oh, okay.
And we're sort of talking about our experiences with using visual timers. Personally, I tried out your app before we were going to have you on. And I really loved how colorful everything was, first of all. And also the visual countdown timer, I said before you popped on, is so helpful for like maintaining that perception of time.
Yeah. Like when we first started, it was a digital countdown timer, which is still available. And I still like the digital timer in certain situations, but that visual pie, I think it's slightly different to other pie timers as well, because you can't see it immediately, but we actually go the opposite way. Like most pie timers go forward, I guess, like the time's going forward, but we actually go backwards because it's countdown. And I just like the variety, because, you know, a certain feature might work for me one day and then the next day it won't. So it's all about having variety, because everybody's different. So, you know, just pick the thing that works for you on that day. And if it doesn't, try and switch it up. Like you said, Sarah, the colors as well. Maybe one day I need like some rainbow colors, or another day I'm feeling kind of wintry blues and I might want that kind of shade going through the whole list. And I think that's just the key. It's like, I want it to feel fresh all the time and make me want to come back to use the product.
Yeah, no, 100% actually. And, you know, before we kind of get into the nitty gritty of the timer, because I do want to know about your struggles with time and how the timer's helped you. Let's jump and talk a little bit about ADHD research into time. Now, we haven't asked you to bring any research. That's kind of what we do here on this podcast. So we've bought some research about ADHD struggle with time blindness because it's so helpful, I think, to explain to everyone, because so much of the time with ADHD, we're thinking, is this real? Is this really affecting me? Is this maybe something I just need to get over, get used to, blah, blah, blah. So Sarah, do you want to take us through the very impressive paper, I think, that sort of talks about this exact struggle that your app supports?
Yeah, I'm so glad that I went looking, because this is such a good one. The title of this paper is Time Perception in Adult ADHD: Findings from a Decade. So what that tells you is that it's a meta-analysis of sort of time perception. So not time blindness specifically, but time perception. They talk a little bit about sort of where they got these studies, how many they wound up with, but sort of the long and short of it is that they found adult patients with ADHD have problems with the estimation of time intervals, the reproduction of time intervals, and the general management of time, which is a lot. And then they also go on to talk about... Yeah, this is a pervasive issue. But they go into talking about the causes for this time perception issue is perception, attention, working memory, and action planning, which is like planning and then being able to revise. So really, just a really interesting study that sort of reaffirms everything that we know, but also puts it really plainly like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's something that we struggle with all the time, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say before this podcast, I set 3 alarms. It's 9 o'clock my time in the morning, and I set one for 8:30, 8:45, and then 8:55. My coworker also sent me a message. She didn't specifically say, but I think she was kind of just saying, good morning, like just to like, just give me a nudge.
Yeah. Good morning. Do you remember what's happening today?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, of course, I looked last night and I had alarms last night too. And when you speak to someone who does not have ADHD and you mention time blindness or this or time perception, they really struggle to get their head around it. And it's always these comments like, oh, you're always late. Like, why can't you be on time? And it's like, I don't mean to be late. It just kind of happens. Yeah, it's really funny. Just the whole estimation thing. I always think something's going to take like much less time than it does. Part of running your own business is you've sometimes got to do the boring stuff as well. So this week I was doing some accounting, which I absolutely hate. And I thought it was going to take me half an hour and it took 2 hours. Like it's just way off. It's not even a little bit off. It's like it's way off.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's such a good point. And I guess one of the questions, I think a question for the audience, you know, is what does Llama Life do to help people who are in that position with time? So if they are in a position where they're struggling to manage their time, like how does your app specifically help with that?
Yeah, it helps in 2 ways. So the first way is that for every single task, you can set a countdown timer. Mm-hmm. And it's important to note it's a countdown timer, not a stopwatch. And the reason is a countdown timer is there's a ceiling to it, right? It's stopped. You say, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes on this task and all I need to do is try and focus within that 5 minutes. You can also set a 1 minute timer. So there's so many timer apps. A lot of them are like 25 minutes and that's all you can set. Mm-hmm. But we're very flexible. So you can do a 1 minute timer, which is something that I often do because I just want to get started. So I tell myself, I just need to focus for 1 minute and I'll write a little task. Maybe it's like, look at your calendar or organize your day 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I'll start the timer and it counts down. And what that does is it creates kind of like a constraint, like it's a positive constraint though. And it just tells my brain, I just need to try and focus for this amount of time until that hits zero. Yeah. And if you struggle to do it, then you do a shorter timer and a shorter timer until you can just get through that 1 minute. So that's the first way. It's like in the moment on that task. And the whole idea is to single task, like don't multitask. It's very hard to multitask. We think we can do it, but it's all about that single focus and trying and not do anything else.
I really like that idea, actually. Like it's similar to the idea of those deadlines with ADHD. We get deadlines for dopamine.
Exactly.
And even in like if you're in a coffee shop and you know you only have half an hour until it closes, this happened to me yesterday. That gives you so much.
Oh my gosh.
So much dopamine to finish.
Yeah, I was on a plane the other day and obviously that's got a hard deadline too, right? Like, you're going to land, you know, they're going to come around and tell you to turn your laptop off. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get this thing done. And I was so efficient on that plane. So yes, there's that constraint. And there's another concept. It's called Parkinson's Law. And Parkinson's Law states that the amount of time that you give your work, like it'll fill it. So if you say, hey, this task's going to take 30 minutes, it'll take 30 minutes. If the same task you say will take 2 hours, you'll probably procrastinate a bit and expand that time to take 2 hours. Because mentally, you've set that in your head. So yes, it is about creating that, like a fake deadline in a way.
Yes,
And that deadline just happens to be 1 minute or 5 minutes, like on a much shorter scale.
Well, I sort of like the fake deadline point you do. is mm-hmm. true. But I think the thing that I like about what you do, and you know, for those of you who are looking to think about how this would work, you could do this with different systems, you know, but mm-hmm. essentially what you do is you add all of the events together, and then at the bottom you can see how much time you have left, yeah. like what time you'll finish mm-hmm. if you do all yeah. of those tasks.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite interesting. That creates a real deadline.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That was the second way I was going to say, like the mm-hmm. first way is like in that moment on one task, you have mm-hmm. that timer. The second way yeah. is what you said, which is we show like at the bottom of your list, like say you've got 10 tasks, we'll add up all the time and we'll say, hey, your list time is 3 hours already. Mm-hmm. You know, does that
yeah.
make sense?
Yeah.
And it'll also say your estimated finishing time. So it'll say, hey, you've got 3 hours. Right now for me, it's 9:20. And it'll say, hey, you're going to finish at 12:20 if everything goes mm-hmm. to plan. The idea there is to know how much did you put on your plate? Like, is this realistic? Mm-hmm. And then also, are you going to finish at a reasonable time? If you start putting in all these tasks and it says like 11 o'clock at night, then mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. got to reassess that because
yeah.
you've kind of taken on too much. And that is a very common theme, at least for me, that I try and do too much because I can't estimate oh, yeah. my time properly. And then I get upset with myself that I couldn't do it. But in mm-hmm. reality, I put too much on to begin with. So it's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. it's a lose-lose. Like, I just make myself feel bad because I've put too much on. But, you know, yeah. in reality, no one's going to do that. No one is going to be able yeah. to realistically do that. So we just try and yeah. make time, like, very present in the app.
Definitely. Sarah, do you guys have any other questions about what we've been chatting about?
Yeah. So somebody in the chat was talking about sort of challenges with, like, task switching. And mm. so I'm just wondering sort of how, like, the app or really just in general, you can accommodate the fact that sometimes switching from task to task can take, like, it could be a whole process with ADHD.
Yeah. So you're sort of talking about context, task switching or context switching or...
Sure. Yeah. Like task switching is sort of like yeah. going from one thing to the next. So like if you put on mm-hmm. your list, like I'm going to check my email and then after that, I'm going to like, I don't know, edit this graphic. The process of going from one to the next might be too harsh. And so sometimes people with ADHD will like just take longer to do.
Yeah. That transition time. Yeah.
I completely agree with you. Like I find it very hard to context switch or go from one task to another. If it's a completely different thing, like say I'm doing some coding and then I need to switch to doing some marketing, they're very different skill sets. And for me, it's quite hard to just
yeah
turn off yeah. one and turn on the other. But even just going from one task to another, if they're the same skill set, can be tricky as well, because there's a point in there where I could get distracted and I could start to procrastinate just because one thing's finished and the other needs to begin. And we do yeah. have something built in to help with that. So basically the pattern here is like all the features that go into Llama Life are like problems that I've experienced and I mm-hmm. need something to mm-hmm. help me with that. And mm-hmm. so we have something called auto start the next task. So if mm-hmm. you finish one task, you hit complete, you get confetti all over the screen mm-hmm. and you feel good.
I love that.
But it will just start the timer on the next task. Mm-hmm. So it's to help give you that momentum, not mm-hmm. lose momentum basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, in our academy, we have a whole process, the get in focus routine to get into focus. Mm-hmm. And I imagine sort of to your point, Sarah, that routine could be a different task. So you could mm-hmm. have like lunch, get in focus routine for 20 minutes.
Oh, and I see what you're saying.
And then have a walk and then get in focus routine for 20 minutes and do another task. So
I was also thinking that at the very least, sort of the timer going on would allow you to check in with yourself to see if you're doing the thing that you're meant to be doing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have to realize first that you're not in order to like make a change or reschedule it for later or whatever.
Yeah. We actually have this thing. We have this thing called Chimes. It's actually like one of the most favorite features from our community.
Ooh.
Yes, it's what you said, Sarah. So when you've got a timer running, you know, sometimes you get distracted during that task. You know, maybe I'm supposed to be doing like accounting stuff, but I have a thought about a movie I saw last night and I go like, check it. And then I go down a rabbit hole. That happens to me a lot. But this feature called Chimes will actually play like a soft chime during a task. And you can set it at whatever interval you want. So maybe it's a half an hour task, but or a 15-minute task. But you can have a chime play every 5 minutes during that. And it's meant to be not like intrusive or anything, but it's enough to go, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And maybe I should go back to doing that.
A mindfulness chime.
Yeah, that's right.
I love
that's
that. Yeah. We talk about mindfulness all the time here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a struggle with ADHD to constantly be like, where am I in space and time?
Yeah, yeah. That's something I'm trying to work on for myself personally, is just the mindfulness thing and being aware of my energy and like how my feeling at any given point in time. I'm really bad at managing that at the moment. So I tend to work, like I'll work too much to the point where I'm just not effective. So I'm really trying to take more breaks. Like if I'm not feeling like stuff's happening, just take a break. It's so much easier said than done, but like go outside, go for a walk, all that stuff. It really helps me, but it's very hard for me to do it. Like actually do it. I know what I need to do, but it's very hard for me to just do it. So I'm working on that for myself at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's really important to keep that in mind. I totally get it. If you have something that you enjoy in terms of like what you're doing, like your business, it can become a big hyper-focus.
Yeah.
And that can really be a struggle because, you need to take breaks, you need to eat, you need to do other things. But there is that sense of like, if I just don't do anything else for the next 24 hours, I bet I could finish this app. I can create the whole thing. You know, there's that feeling with ADHD.
It's a good thing sometimes, but, you know, it's also not. I think a lot of people say the whole superpower thing, like, yeah, sometimes, but it is also like a real struggle, like a large part of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Definitely.
We know that ADHD can feel overwhelming and frustrating, and that's on a good day. And we don't want anyone to have to navigate that alone.
That's why we created the ADHD Academy, where adults with ADHD can meet, join, share stories, and support each other in a judgment-free way. If you want to connect with others who truly understand you and learn research-based strategies to help you feel more in control and build momentum in your life and work, you found the right place.
Together, let's transform your ADHD challenges into strengths. If you'd like to know more, you can click the link below to join us in the ADHD Academy.
Hope to see you there.
What are your favorite strategies to focus on when you need to get a boring task done? What do you do?
Have you heard of this thing called Eat the Frog? Like this concept called Eat the Frog? Yeah, so Eat the Frog doesn't work for me. So in case...
I was like, are we going to have to have a conversation about dopamine?
Does it work for you?
No.
Okay, yeah.
All the time. There's like a bunch of research about why it doesn't work for people with ADHD.
That's why. I have not seen the research, but I just know like every time I read it, I'm like, but that doesn't work for me. And I've tried so many times. So for anyone in the audience, Eat the Frog is this concept where you try and do like the hardest things on your list first. So you'll write your list and go, okay, these are the most important or like the most difficult things to get done. I'll do them like in the morning as the very first thing. And I look at that and I go, there's no way like I'm going to be able to do that. So I kind of flip that. Like your question was like, how do you get a boring task done?
Yeah.
So the first thing I do is I kind of flip the Eat the Frog thing. I call it like Eat the Cake. Because you try and do the most easy thing first. Right? And so...
Come have cake.
Yeah. I'll try and do like super easy tasks first or super short ones and then get into the momentum of just doing stuff.
Yeah.
And then once I'm in the momentum of doing stuff, maybe like throw a boring task in there because I'm already moving versus... The problem is for me is like going from zero to like start. But once I've started, it's a little bit easier to go keep going. And so I'll try to do the boring task after I'm already moving.
Yeah. Once you've built that momentum.
Yeah. Basically just the opposite of Eat the Frog. And then the other thing I do is I try and do like body doubling, which
we also love and also have in the Academy. It's so good.
It's so good. Like I think it helps to have a team who is super understanding. So Llama Life is me and two other people. I started it by myself, but it's kind of mm-hmm. grown now, and it's me and two others. And both the people I work with are super understanding. They read all the customer feedback on ADHD and have mm-hmm. a really good understanding of
awesome.
What happens in the ADHD mind. So one of the people I work with, we do like a body doubling session. I'll just tell mm-hmm. her, hey, I need like, we call it GSSD, like I don't know if I can swear on this, but get done. Basically, we get on a Zoom call together and mm-hmm. just having her in the corner, like I just put her, mm-hmm. like make her really small and just put her in the corner of my screen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That really helps. And at the beginning yeah. of the session, I'll say, okay, I need to do this boring task. And this is what I'm going to do the next half an hour. Mm-hmm. And she'll mm-hmm. say what she's working on. And then we go, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. And I've asked her, like, does this help you at all? And she's like, no, doesn't do anything for me. But I'll do really? It for you because I understand that you need it. But that's she's so like, I'm working anyway. I don't really need this. But yeah, zero impact for me. But I'll do it because I know it helps you.
Yeah. So
that really helps having people around you who understand that you can just call and say, I need this. And they'll help you with that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, we've had a number of people talk about how it's, you know, having the body doubling, the academy has helped them get tasks done and finish reports and things like that. And it's the same thing, like turning it on and having it there. I saw somebody, I was watching a video on it, they had like a combination, they would turn on your Llama Life on one side of their computer screen, and then on the other side, they'd have like a body doubling session open, and then they would get work done. So it's interesting to see those pieces working together.
Yeah, it's so interesting because Llama Life on the surface looks like a simple tool, but there's a lot of little features built in there. And I'm always amazed at how people use it, or mm-hmm. you know, when they use it, or where they're positioning it on the screen. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like you said, on a desktop, it's really easy just to make the window, just put the window to the side. And mm-hmm. now that we've got the app, like you can just kind of take it with you on the go.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I do have one question. What would you say to people who say that they tried apps, but they really get bored? Because with ADHD, that's a big thing.
Mm. Yeah, I would say you've got to use what works for you at the time. And that's mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons why we try and put a lot of different things in the app.
Mm-hmm.
The core concept of the app is going to stay the same, which is the timers. Mm-hmm. That's that mechanism. Mm-hmm. But you can build stuff around that. So mm-hmm. that's where the colors come in. That's where the different emoji come in. You can create a list and hit a button and we'll pick different emoji for you that fits mm-hmm. the task. For me, like it's all about that variety. And if it's not working for you that day, try something else. Try a different tool even. The main thing is having the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different tools out there. And the tools can be, you know, we try and make the best tool possible.
But
at the end of the day, like you need some kind of strategy and then use the tool to implement that strategy.
Yeah.
And for me, like one of my strategies is what we just said before, like that eat the cake thing. I try and start mm-hmm. with the small tasks, just get that momentum. That's my strategy. And then I'll use the tool to get me through that. But if you don't have the strategy and you just go straight into a tool, it can be hard. And sometimes the tool won't work for you. Mm-hmm. We try and give people ideas for strategy. So when you sign up on the onboarding, you'll get a series of emails that talks about strategy and tries to ask like, well, what's your strategy? Have a think about it. You don't have to spend a lot of time. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's just like, but what is your approach to getting it done?
Definitely. And I think for people who are listening to this right now and they're like, cool, so what's my strategy? What I would say was, we're obviously going to drop a link to your app in this episode, but we'll also pop a link to the Get in Focus routine article. And, you know, that way you can use that routine and then build an app into the routine, such as your one. So having that combination, I think, like you said, can be such an important system process because, you can adjust it then and you can change it to like different things that work for you or different emojis.
If
that's what you need. But that's a really, really good way of thinking about it. I think
people hear strategy and it sort of sounds like a big, like a scary word and it sounds complicated, but it doesn't have to be. Like it could be as simple as saying, well, like I said, sort of the eat the cake thing, or it might just be, hey, my strategy today is not to, or this week is not to do like more than 3 hours, like not to put more than 3 hours of things in my list because I know that I overschedule. So my strategy is going to be, let me just do less.
Yeah.
And it's okay to do less because it's probably the reality, right? Yeah. But that could just be a strategy. Or the strategy could be, I'm going to phone a friend when I need a body doubling thing or take more breaks. Right. Yeah. That can be strategy as well. So
there's
doesn't
so
have
many
to be
strategies out there.
Yeah.
There's so much out there for people who are sort of just getting started in this space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm curious. So you made an app, which is sort of like writing a book, maybe harder. I have never made an app. So it's it's a big undertaking. Tell us about, you know, any advice you have for others who are in this space who are doing such a big task and they have ADHD. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, I think it's really important to find something that you love doing because it sounds kind of a big, scary thing to make an app or learn to code. But for me, it felt very natural. Like I kind of found my thing, I guess. It took a very long time. Like I never knew what I wanted to do growing up and I kind of just fell into the advertising branding thing. Yeah. And I'm grateful for that experience. I learned a lot of stuff, even though at the time I probably didn't see it, but you know, hindsight's great. And I look back and I think I learned so much stuff that I'm using now in my own business, but that wasn't my thing. Like it was an uphill battle all the time.
Yeah.
But when I was learning to code and building stuff and creating stuff, that's my thing. Mm-hmm. Like I love doing that. And it doesn't feel like work to me because I love doing it. So I think it's easier said than done and everybody's circumstance is different. So you might have a family that you need to support. Mm-hmm. So you can't just leave your job, right? Or you might need a certain amount of savings before you can do that. There's a certain amount of risk that you're willing to take and you're not. So I suppose just to give some context, when I started my own business, I didn't have a family to support. I only had to think about myself. I only had to support myself. It was a risk I could take for myself, right? And that is a lot easier to do. I was able to take that time and kind of figure out like, this is me, like this is what I love to do. And so then how can I design a life around that? Like how can I create a business around that? And and it didn't happen overnight. It definitely took some time. It's been 3 years kind of in this business now. And then many years before that, just kind of struggling to figure out stuff. But you know, it's well worth it to kind of just give some thought, like what makes you tick? Like what makes you happy? Like what do you like doing? Is there a way you can kind of get closer to that in some way? Mm-hmm. It might not be exactly that, but you could maybe find something like a job that is like adjacent to that or lets you be in that space or in that category of the thing that you love. And that helps so much, like so much.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. That's really great. And a good reminder as well. Mm-hmm. Before I ask you the questions we ask everyone on this podcast, Sarah, do you have anything else you wanted to add from the chat? What's the chat saying?
The chat is like star eyes and hearts. Okay. So very wonderful conversation. Yeah, it's been lovely to like hear about your experience. It's so funny because while I was doing the research for this episode, I came across another article that talked about like assisted devices for time management. And I'm not going to get into it, but in the article, she talks about how when someone is designing something, often their first project is like for them, you know, their first software project is like something that they build for themselves. So I just think that's so cool to see yourself baked into this project everywhere. And also I just wanted to super agree on intrinsic motivation is so big for ADHD. It's like it's the vessel through which we create things.
Definitely. And I think it's very hard to find that intrinsic motivation, which is why we rely so much on the external extrinsic. But if you can find the intrinsic, it's like magical.
That's so cool.
And it sounds so easy, but like I can guarantee you I have good days and and then I have really bad days as well. Like, but at least the number of good days is more when I'm doing the work that I'm, you know, interested in.
Yeah. And that's a tough one because I know there's lots of people out there who are listening who like are struggling with that. You know, they're struggling to kind of get set up, but it's worth considering if you can't do things you enjoy the whole day, at least let that be the cake you eat at the beginning of the day.
Or just make a little bit of time for yourself to do that stuff.
Yeah, there's an app I know that helps you
make a trifle out of your
time out. Make a trifle,
Yeah, put cake all over the place, you know?
Make a pavlova. I'm pretty sure they invented that in New Zealand, I think.
Oh, no, we're not going to get into that debate. Yeah, because it's meant to be in Australia, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is.
Very, very, very Australian New Zealand joke. you're welcome.
Now I'm craving pavlova.
I know.
That's the other thing. I don't know if you guys experience this, but sweet stuff, like I have like sweet cravings sometimes when I'm not focused. I'm not sure why. I think my
dopamine
is low and the sugar fix like boosts it really quickly. But then obviously you have a crash later.
Yeah. But you're like, I don't care about that now.
Yeah. I just need to feel good right now because I feel so bad. And then I'll go get an ice cream.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm stuck on a coding problem and I just can't solve it, I'll be like, I'm going to go for a walk and an ice cream. Almost guaranteed I'll fix it then, but then after that I'm wrecked.
Yeah, I actually have a similar like, go get an ice cream.
yeah.
Thing. Yeah, that's so interesting. Okay, well, let me talk about, you've kind of touched this already, but we ask some questions to everybody in the ADHD Skills Lab. So tell us about the one professional achievement that you're most proud of.
I think starting my career was something I'm very proud of, which, you know, I mentioned before, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I kind of I really struggled kind of getting my first job. And it took me, I was very late starting my first job too. I was kind of like mid-20s when I got my my first sort of professional job. And I'm just proud of the fact that like how it happens. So basically it's such an ADHD thing. I basically said to everyone that I know, like for the accountability, I said, I'm going to go to London and I'm going to get a job in London. So I just upped the difficulty like 1,000 times.
Just
like,
a bit, yeah.
Because I was interviewing for jobs in Melbourne and I couldn't get one. And I know the reason I couldn't get one was secretly I didn't want it. So I wasn't kind of putting in the effort, right? And of course, like nothing's going to happen then. So I just up the stakes. And whenever I do something impulsive and I up the stakes and the consequences are super high, like go to London, don't know anyone. If you don't get a job, you have to come back home and, you know, lose faith, like be all embarrassed about it and ego hit and all that stuff. So I made the stakes really high and I ended up going to London. I interviewed for 3 jobs. I got 2 of them. And that was within a span of like 13 days. And I ended up staying in London for 2.5 years after that.
Wow.
And that kickstarted my career in the advertising branding space. And I kind of moved around like after that. I went to New York after that too with the same company. So I think I'm most proud of kind of starting that as a professional achievement.
Giving yourself that,
that momentum
building.
And, you know, I was kind of young at the time when that happened, but you can see the pattern is that like you kind of need the momentum, the kickstart, and just knowing that you need that to get anything done. And I kind of created this situation where, you know, to fail would be like catastrophic. And it's not great to do that all the time, but I know I needed to do that to kind of get things going.
And it
paid off in the end.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, definitely. And on the other side, is there a professional failure that embarrasses you and how did you deal with it?
Yeah, so I'm really bad at ruminating, right? So sometimes when I do have a failure, like I can't let go of it and I'll just think about it over and over again. Yeah, I would say one professional failure would be, like this is again in corporate, in advertising and branding. I did like a presentation at a conference. It was kind of it was a very big global, like worldwide conference. You could probably find it online. It's kind of probably embarrassing, but
we'll drop the link below. No, we won't.
I'm going to pretend I can't find it. I was giving a presentation. It was kind of the first big presentation I did, big crowd, etc. And I kind of just, I don't think I failed spectacularly. It's probably a lot in my head, but I didn't feel great about the presentation when it finished. I'm sure half of it was in my head, but I was like, I could have done better.
Yeah.
It's not a huge failure, I guess, but I do remember that moment and I'm like, I cringe every time I think about it. Like that was so bad. I just keep thinking that was so bad. And like, I never want to do that again. And I have done presentations since then, but
yeah,
I just remember that as being the most awkward thing ever. And not great and how everyone must be thinking, like, this is such a bad presentation. It doesn't even make sense. It was kind of very forced, you know, like we had some data that I was presenting, but I didn't feel like it was a good story. You know, it just started badly from the beginning and I'm like cringing now as I think about it, but
I'm very sorry to bring that
moment
to your mind. But it is good to be able to talk about this stuff and, you know, to share those, because we've all had that experience with I've definitely had a presentation before where I've been like, cool, never doing that again, and yet here we are on a podcast, all of us talking in public. So
it's funny because it's sort of contradicting in the sense that usually if I'm doing something live, like we're doing now, I'm pretty focused because the stakes are high, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel completely comfortable doing this.
Yeah.
And you could argue when you're doing an on-stage presentation, the stakes are high as well. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't happen that way that time.
Yeah.
Too high.
It was maybe too high. I couldn't use the adrenaline to stay focused. Instead, it was working against me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, but it just... I thought I'd be okay, but I wasn't. And maybe that's another reason why I feel like it was a failure.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I know we've talked about the sort of a curve of anxiety or stress, you know, that can be motivating and then it can hit that demotivating side as well.
Sure. Yeah, probably just tipped over.
We were also just recently talking to someone else about the potentially overstimulating nature of conferences and things like that.
Yes.
So that could also be coming into play.
That's
that
must be it. Yeah. Cause it's just, even the before and after. It's so, I absolutely hate conferences. The crowds, the whole, there's too much happening. Yeah. That must be it. Thanks. That actually makes me feel better. It's probably that.
You're so happy. Welcome.
I could do that for you.
Yeah. That must be it. Yeah. It's such a real thing. Just too much stuff happening.
Definitely. The power of research on air. You're among friends. We all also find conferences very overwhelming.
Yeah. That's one of the huge benefits of doing the business I'm doing now is I get to speak to so many people with ADHD, and we have a community of ADHD members. And it just feels so easy to talk to people with ADHD. Like, you don't have to explain yourself and it kind of just feels like, oh yeah, everyone just gets it. I don't have to feel embarrassed because I said something that other people might think like, oh, how can you not do that? It's very much like, I'll say something, you guys, I know, totally, you know, it's really good.
Yeah, awesome. Great. Well, it's been so lovely to have you on and talk to you about this and, talk to us about your app and how it's going. So Maria, tell us, where can the people find you?
So I'm very active on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at 3HourCoffee, spelled out 3HourCoffee. And of course, you can check out Llama Life in the App Store. We're on iOS at the moment. So just search in Llama Life. We should hopefully be the first one that comes up. We are building Android soon. So that's coming. Stay tuned for that. And you can also check us out on the web, llamalife.co.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're so welcome. It's been a really fun conversation. Sarah, was there anything else that you wanted to share from the chat? Chat, if you're want to share some love, now's your chance.
Everyone's just saying thank you. Everybody's very interested in checking out the app. Thanks for being here and letting the audience engage with you. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thanks everyone for being here too.
Awesome. See you later.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to reach out or connect with us, you can leave us a message at admin@unconventionalorganization.com.
You can also find out more about our ADHD coaching organization, read our free articles, or sign up to our online courses at unconventionalorganization.com. That's organization with a Z or an S. They both will get you there.
If you'd like to learn more about what we discussed here today, or you want to read the transcript, you can find that at our show notes page at unconventionalorganization.com.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and think someone else might find the strategies and stories helpful, the best thing you can do is share episodes using the share button in the podcast player, or leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify or your podcast player of choice, letting them know why you've benefited from this podcast.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you back in the ADHD lab next week.